This is Alex Easton on ABC Radio Queensland.
Cattle poo's turned into compost. It's sheer genius, or it could be madness, maybe. Peter Harris from USQ. What is going on here? You're recycling cattle poo, is that right?
Yeah, I wish that we could take credit for it, but this has actually been going on for over 100 years. Sewage in Exeter in London used to produce this gas in the sewer pipes, and they would use this gas from human waste to power the lights in the streets. So it's nothing new, and I wish we could take credit for it, but we are advancing this technology in Australia.
Essentially, what we're talking about here is getting the methane gas that's coming off the waste, which comes off any kind of poop, and using that in the same way that you'd use LNG or something like that. Is that right?
That's exactly right, yeah. So things like cow stomachs and swamps have this process called anaerobic digestion. And it essentially, these microorganisms that live in that environment, they consume the organic molecules, carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, and they turn these into biogas, which is a mixture of carbon dioxide and methane. And that methane has a lot of energy in it. It's about 50 megajoules per kilogram of methane. And as you said, that's exactly what natural gas is.
Now, I'm getting an image in my head of a farmer running around in a paddock with a shovel and a wheelbarrow that's got a generator, kind of like a DeLorean out of Back to the Future, just sort of shoving it in, going, quick, we've got to go to the future, Marty McFly. I'm going to guess that I'm wrong.
I love it. a little bit, but I do love it.
future designs.
Exactly. We've looked at the material that's generated on farms that's accessible and that which is inaccessible. And so we published a paper recently this year, which actually quantified all of the accessible waste from a number of industries, say beef feedlots and red meat processing, on-farm dairy and dairy manufacturing, as well as pork on-farm. And so anything where a farmer kind of has to run around with a wheelbarrow, we said, no, that's not realistic.
I think the farmer would say that too.
Although, shame. But more the material, say, when the cows are in the milking sheds and they wash that material down with water and it all collects in ponds. So a lot of dairies collect this material in a holding pond as it is. These guys can basically just put a cover on those ponds and they'll be collecting biogas.
So this is when they're unleashing, so to speak, in what might otherwise be an inconvenient spot.
Yeah, essentially. I guess for us it's convenient because it's on something that's hard, like concrete or a feed pad, or also materials, say the red meat processing. They capture all of that material anyway, and often that goes through to a sewer, or sometimes the solids will go through to landfilling, and that can be really bad for the environment, especially the landfilling.
Now, so you're washing it down into a storage area and collecting the gas from there. Is it going directly into a generator on site? So it's like the dairy being run off the methane that's coming off the dairy cow's poop?
Yeah, that can essentially be done. There was talk of a new dairy over in Western Australia that was looking to be entirely off-grid and using anaerobic digestion to break down those organics in the manure and run their dairy. So that can definitely happen, yeah.
I did hear a little while ago of a piggery, I think in regional Queensland somewhere, where they were basically doing that with the waste from the pigs, and they were generating mm-hmm. quite a lot of electricity. Like, how much can you get out of this?
Oh, I mean, how long's a piece of string? without setting the boundaries. If we look across each of these industries, and actually I should just mention that, you know, piggeries are really leading the way in this space in agricultural use of anaerobic digestion, so it's a great example. Across the industries, though, what we've come up with is they can essentially use or generate about 77% of their energy demand. And their energy demand is about 18 petajoules. What this means is it's about enough power to power 342,000 homes for a year. The energy that they can get off of that, 13.8 petajoules, that's enough to power 262,000 homes. This is a lot of energy.
This is off an individual farm.
This is across the industry. So this is these industries that I mentioned, beef feedlots and the red meat processing. It's it can be a bit difficult to pull the numbers out of my head just for one, but
so
across these industries, yeah.
I was talking about people using it on site, but are you talking about collecting it all up and taking it to a centralized generator where you can produce those large amounts of energy?
I guess in that example, yes. Using it on site is the best use. We talk about it as behind the meter consumption. In Australia, the export tariffs or the feed-in tariffs for electricity, it's not so good. But if you can use that power behind the meter, instead of buying electricity from the grid, you can save a lot more. And so ideally, yes, we prefer it's used on-site behind the meter.
Yeah, you'd imagine for a commercial farmer, if you can save 70% of your bill, that's going to be quite a substantial saving. But presumably the cost of setting up the generator in the first place is also going to be very expensive.
Yeah, so of course it depends on the size of operation. And, you know, farms tend to not be as energy intensive as their respective processing partner. So, for example, a beef feedlot produces a lot of manure, but they don't really use a lot of energy. If you can collaboratively use that energy in a red meat processing facility, if it's co-located, you can get much more benefit out of that.
So basically setting up community generating structures?
Potentially. I mean, if we had a feedlot located right next door to a red meat processor, that would be ideal.
One of the things I've wondered about this is methane, of all of the greenhouse gases, is in some ways the worst. It doesn't last as long as carbon dioxide, but it is much more, creates a whole lot more warming than carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. I mean, is this something we really should be messing around with, or should we be, like, does this reduce the amount of methane that ends up in the atmosphere if we do it this way?
Yeah, it does actually reduce the amount of methane that ends up in the atmosphere. And you're absolutely right that methane is about 28 times more potent as a greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide. But the idea is that if we can get these solids into an environment where we can capture these emissions and then beneficially use the energy, and when we combust methane, we actually produce from one unit of methane, one unit of carbon dioxide. So we still just get the same amount of carbon dioxide released as if it were broken down aerobically in the natural environment, but we can recover the energy that's locked up in those molecules.
All right, Dr. Peter Harris, thank you very much for your time. This is fascinating stuff. I can't say I'm inspired to go around collecting cowpats just yet, but I can see the promise. It's a work in progress. All right, thanks, Peter. That's Dr. Peter Harris from the University of Southern Queensland.